time for the Soft Shoulder Podcast. I am your host, Danette Relic of Radical Creative Sanctuary, inviting spaciousness for your mind and your heart. Welcome. I'm so glad you're here. The Soft Shoulder is your time to slow down and fuel up on self-love support, so you can make the most of your gorgeous life. Join me here. Everyone needs a soft shoulder. Hello, sweet listener. Many years ago, when I first began training to become a life coach, one of the earliest tools was this concept around being and doing, going on a real dive into the differences and the powers of these two different things. Where are we focused? Where are we taking our clients into? Who are they becoming? Who are they being? And what are they doing? Right? These seem like very basic things, but believe me, there was a lot to study just in these two things and how powerful they can just be as tools when we're trying to articulate that which we want to change, that which we want to become, right? So seems kind of self-explanatory, right? The doing is action taking. What are you doing, right? What time are you waking up? Are you going for a jog? Are you finishing that paper? Are you having that conversation? Are you signing up for that class? Anything that's the action that's going to move the dream forward. And the being is a really beautiful, fun place too, because it's like, well, it's sort of like the why. Like, who is it that you want to be? Because you don't just want to check things off the list, right? It's like, yeah, you could do all that stuff, but then who are you when you've checked that stuff off the list? If you have done all of these actions, who are you becoming through those actions? But sometimes, especially in this culture where we really just want to be productive, we're conditioned to be very product-focused, transaction-focused, right? So it's like, oh, I love a checklist, and we focus there without thinking about the being. That's sort of like taking a trip and getting on a bus and getting on a train and buying your plane ticket and going up a hill when you haven't decided where you're going. You'll end up somewhere, right? But part of when people hire a coach, and the job of a coach is to do this with like desire and consciousness. You get to choose. You get to have so much more influence over your life, right? So some people suggest starting with the being. Who do I want to be? When I think 10 years, 5 years, 1 year, 20 years into the future, if I think of myself living my best life, you know, using all my skills, being open to change and being open to the idea that my dreams can be really big and that dreams can happen and that I can make them happen. When I fantasize about my best outcome, who am I being in that vision? If you start there and you have a name or some names for who you want to be, the doing part kind of falls into place, right? It's like if you know that you want to be an artist, then the doing part is like, oh, what does an artist do? Well, an artist may, you know, hopefully makes art. I had this comic years ago where I think I even mentioned it here before, where it's like, I'm going to be an artist. And they're talking about all the things they're doing, which were all like lifestyle choices. And then the last panel was like, so like, what's your art like? It's like, oh, I haven't started any of that yet. I'm just wearing cool clothes and going to parties, you know, nothing wrong with any of that. Just made me laugh. But so if you were going to be an artist, what does an artist do? And also you get to make it up. Like, I'm making fun of the comic, but also your life is your art, right? So you get to decide what that looks like. right? So it's like, oh, if I was an artist, I might be like exploring different paints right now. I might be taking classes. I might join a theater group. I might go on like a sabbatical with like a whole bunch of blank journals and see what happens. Like, I don't know. But the doing part would kind of fall into place. It would definitely help you decide what you're not doing, right? Yeah. So there's this dance between these two things. But sometimes we can talk about them and just focus on the one, right? Like just focus on being and not take action. Kind of forget that they're dance partners, right? So doing is still there, but being is just taking up all the room. And now there's not really a dance because there's no exchange of energy happening, right? And the same thing with doing. Doing can take up all the room and forget about being its dance partner and just go, 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 do, 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 course after course, marathon after marathon, you know, all the things. And then be like, wait a minute, why am I doing all of this? So what I have found is that often people will have kind of a default, a preference. You might be listening to this and go, oh, I'm a doer, or oh, I'm a beer, and I'm not getting anything done, right? So pay attention if you notice that you have a place you're a little more comfortable in, right? But the exciting thing is the dance. In a dance, like a partner dance where there's someone who leads, that's the kind of dance I'm talking about for this metaphor. It's so important to have a leader who knows they're the leader and is stepping into that role as the leader. I know it seems obvious, but if you've done any partner dancing and you've had a leader who's not owning it, it's very confusing, right? And so then if you are not the leader, having like not being able to trust the leadership means that you can't really let go. You're not really sure what's happening. So you're in your head, right? Wondering what's going on. Are we going to turn? I don't know. I can't really count on this leader. So then you have two people in this wishy-washy dance space. Not really fun. Not fun to watch. Probably not fun to be dancing in. And no one is showcasing the fullness of those expressions, which is what is so exciting about partner dancing, right? Now, when you're, I don't know what the term is for someone who's not leading in the dance partnership, but you know, if you have a strong leader, if you've ever actually done this, it is such a joy to be able to just completely be in your body, let your body be led, know when it's like these little gestures, you know when it's time to spin, you know that you will be caught, you know, and you can just really enjoy that receptive, beautiful following of the leadership. It's like, it's so relaxing, right? Somebody who writes about power, this is Kasia Urbaniak. She wrote A Woman's Guide to Power, a book called Unbound. I have listened to it many times. I read over it many times. I'm really enjoying learning from Kasia. And she takes her training from being a professional dominatrix and also training to be, I think it was to be a Taoist nun. Anyway, she combined these energies and these lessons about the power dynamics and the flow of energy. And so that's where she's bringing this wisdom from. And it's a really fascinating read. But she also talked about, so moving on from like the dance partnership for a moment, dogs, right? And how, what happens when, to the vast majority of dogs, when an experienced trainer walks into the room, they relax. I just read that from her book. When she talks about like that need of like, oh, I can trust that this person's in charge. It's relaxing. Same thing in this dance. When you have a leader who's really strong, you can relax, you can enjoy, your body can groove. It feels good. Nothing is tense, right? So taking this metaphor back into this being and doing, it's not so much that, like sometimes in a session, it will be appropriate to focus on one or the other, right? But I wanted to just remind you of, introduce it if you've never heard of this or thought about it this way, or just remind you that whether you're focusing on one or the other, that doesn't mean that the other one isn't present anymore, right? This is basically just like who's leading, where is your attention? Right? So in the being and the doing, You know, the work in coaching might be like maybe being is leading the dance. In that case, being is the place that you begin. Being is holding the vision. Being is saying, I am becoming a leader. I am being a joyful soul. I am being a person of integrity. I am my own best friend, right? All of whatever this being is, you get to make this up, right? Think about what yours would be. Who are you becoming? Who do you want to be? And in this dance, if that's the leader, then the one who gets to relax and just follow, go with the flow, like a well-trained dog or a very like happy dancer, right? It's the doing in this case. It'll just easily flow from the strong leadership of being. Being is holding that dance space. Doing is like, oh, I have an idea. Oh, I know what to do next. Because being is really clear on the direction of this dance. I really love thinking about it this way. And the dance can be reversed, right? The doing can also lead the dance. And the being can follow. This is what that might look like. You might have a whole bunch of habits that you're introducing, actions that you're taking, discipline that you're enforcing and inviting into your life, right? Showing, what are you showing up for? So like if you wanted to be a writer, right? The doing is I'm getting up and I am writing for an hour every day, or I'm writing a sentence every day. I'm going to go to the library and research this thing. I'm going to take a writing class. I'm going to spend time rereading my pages. I'm going to practice my craft. I'm going to take long walks where I'm not writing. Whatever it is that would create that habit, all the actions. If you are showing up, and I just spoke with a friend, fellow writer recently, about this whole idea of like, writers have their rituals. We all have different methods. Certainly there's a lot of books about how to be a writer, right? And for many of us, not all, it just writing. Writing every day makes you a writer, right? So, right. So if in this case, you could just decide that the doer is leading the dance and the doer is getting you up every morning, setting a timer and writing. That might be it. It might be the one action. And over time, through that dance, if you let doing lead that dance, then the being of you as writer will just happen. It will spin. It will turn. It will be led into existence, right? Because your actions make up this identity, right? So there's no wrong way to do that. You can decide who's going to lead. I invite you right now to, there's three things here, right? How would you answer this question of like who you want to be? If you envision this change you want to make or this other life that you forgot to live, who are you being when you picture it? What is that person doing? What is a person who does whatever, who is whoever that is doing, right? So let's say that you want to be the mother that you never had, right? You did not have a great experience being mothered or at all. And now you have this opportunity and you're like, you know, I want to be the mom that I wish that I had. That's the being part. What's the doing part? What would that mother that you would have loved to have had, what does she do? What are the actions that she would be demonstrating? How does she speak? What does she say? What does she show up for? Right? You can see how the doing, the actions come from that identity, right? What if who you are becoming is your own best friend? What would your own best friend do, right? So this is a lovely thing. You can decide that you're going to be your own best friend. This is often how people come to self-marriage also. It starts with friendship. If I had my own back, what would I do? How would I handle this conversation? What would I do about this friendship that makes me feel really awful? What would I do around my work life? If I was my own best friend, would I encourage myself to ask for a raise or start my own business or not? Right? Like this best friend who knows what's best for me, what would that person do? Right? taking that even a step further, we just completed The Art of Self-Marriage. I'm definitely going to talk to you a lot more about that. It was incredibly moving. But if your being, your becoming was, I am becoming the love of my life, or even simply, I am becoming love, that's the being. What's the action? What would love do? If I was the love of my life, what would that look like? How would that show up? What is love in action? So that's a beautiful exercise for you to explore. Name who you are becoming, who you are being, what the doing is, what the action is, what that looks like when you're demonstrating that in the world. And then also just play with noticing who leads. Do you prefer it when doing leads? Do you prefer it when being leads, right? And then just remember that this exchange, they're not in opposition, but they require each other. And if you're curious about Kesha Urbaniak's work, she also describes power as the flow of attention, the direction of attention, that there's always someone in a dom and sub role. And she defines that as where the attention is directed. But then she will describe, and it's not, you know, if this language is like extreme to you, she's not talking about whips, chains, leather. There's a, you know, obviously that's was part of her job, but that's not what she's talking about when she's just talking about the exchange of power and the flow of attention. She says you can't occupy both states at once. You can't be both the sub and the dom at once, but you can exchange it with beautiful fluidity. And when you see the dance, right? Like sometimes it's hard to see who's leading if there's a really good leader and a really good follower. The follower also has to be really good at letting go of control. Have you ever been a leader with a follower who's so tense and doesn't trust you, even though you've got this, right? Takes both. So Kesha describes at some point in her book, I know, like if you see, you're in a coffee shop, you see two friends having a really animated conversation. It's going back and forth and flowing and laughing. They are exchanging. You can see like the invisible ball kind of like ping-ponging back. They're exchanging the role of dom and sub. They're exchanging attention. The attention's on one, then the other, then the other. And it's a beautiful flow. It's a beautiful dance. This is also being and doing in your life. It is fun. It is beautiful when both of those things get to be what they want to be, right? So it's like, you know, these distinct energies, the dom sub, the doing being, they want to play their role fully and not have confusion. That's when we can maximize the quality of your life, the effectiveness of you in the world and of your power, your agency, your creativity. It's freeing up both of those energies to fully occupy their spaces, to allow the leaders to lead, to allow the followers to follow, to allow your being to have a strong, gorgeous vision, to allow the doing to be focused, right? Focused, deliberate action, not action for the sake of it flopping around, right? Like knowing what it's after. Calm, direct attention. It's a beautiful dance. How is yours going? Lots to think about, lots to shimmy about. Let me know how it's going. Thank you, Allison Tarr, for being my dance partner in so many ways and bringing us the Soft Shoulder podcast. Please look up allisontarr.com if you are seeking web services, if you are developing your website right now and you're like, I thought I could do this alone, but I need really cool, awesome help that I can trust. That's Allison. Thank you, Allison. And thank you, dear listener. The highest compliment is your attention, your time here. And I also love that you are giving this attention, of course, to the podcast, but I know that when you do that, you are giving attention to yourself. That's creating the world I want to see. This beautiful, self-reflective, more of you being who you dream of being. That's my dream. And you are someone worth loving. It all starts with you. Take good care, and we'll talk to you soon.